have to say that we have conflict of interest because we do have a product. This is not a research project. This is a product. And my background as a nurse for 44 years, experience working in surgery, peds, peds rehab, neurosurgery, physician offices, and injury prevention. And all of these have had direct ties to shaken baby syndrome. And this is what led me to invent the doll. Easier to explain to people because I'm a visual learner, not one that you can give me a whole bunch of words. And so it was easier for me to explain to other people what we were talking about. Your clinical definition is, of course, they're trying to get away from shaken baby syndrome. They want to use abusive head trauma that causes bleeding over the surface of the brain, swelling of the brain, bleeding at the back of the eyes, and other injuries not seen together in any other disease or medical condition. Or a layperson's definition is child abuse involving the shaking of a baby. The product purpose is to prevent shaken baby syndrome by teaching caregivers the child care and the stress management skills needed to avoid shaking a baby in frustration, to raise the awareness of brain damage caused by SBS, why and how shaking can cause permanent brain damage in infants, the mental state of caregivers who have caused shaken baby syndrome, and skills to manage frustration that can be caused by a crying baby. And the facts are pretty open here. The shaken baby syndrome accounts for more than 50% of non-accidental injuries in children. It is estimated that somewhere between 1,200 and 1,400 cases of shaken baby syndrome are reported each year in the United States alone. That's only the reported ones. 25% of all shaken babies die from their injuries. The remaining 75% do suffer severe brain damage. Approximately 60% of shaken baby syndrome victims either die from their injuries at a later time or suffer a lifetime of disability. Who needs to know about the dangers of SBS? Anybody who cares for an infant. Middle school students, high school students, babysitters, parents, non-biological partners, grandparents, daycare providers, foster care, prenatal, postnatal classes, and offenders close to release from prison. This is a group I see a lot of in programs we do for prisoners getting ready to get out because they don't have jobs. And what are they asked to do but babysit for sisters' kids and other people's kids, the most unlikely people to be taking care of children. And how the simulator works, there are accelerometers in the simulator's brain that measure the amount of force caused by the shaking incident. The LED lights illuminate to illustrate brain damage caused by shaking. The first part that usually lights is your vision, which is your occipital lobe, or that bump right in the back of your head where your eyes, your vision is in your brain. The next part is your frontal lobe. As the brain goes forward after hitting the back part of the skull, it goes forward. So your frontal lobe is usually damaged next, and that's your memory and your emotion. And then when the middle part, which is your arms, legs, speech, and hearing, usually there's death at that point. And I will demonstrate it, but first of all, you turn the simulator on. It rotates or cycles three times to calibrate it, and then the simulator starts to cry. Then you do your shaking demonstration, and inconsolable crying is the number one trigger that causes shaking incidences. So the LEDs illuminate in order from back to front to middle, and crying continues until the frontal lobe is damaged. Comprehensive curriculum is included with the dolls, and there are facts and health standards that are covered with the curriculum. There are seven activities with it. There's pretest, shaking demonstration. The video and discussion is Portrait of Promise, is what a lot of schools use. I happen to like Elijah's story better. It's really good for school-age kids. It's a 30-page overhead presentation. PowerPoint is included with it. And question and answer review with simulator. And a plan. What is your plan going to be to manage this frustration? Babysitters and caregivers alone need to know what to do. Post-test and pledge not to shake are included with the curriculum that I do have up here. You can go to the website and actually download all of this free. Not the baby, but the 30-page PowerPoint presentation and what happens during shaking and the pledges. Then there are links on there for prevention and where you can contact for further information. And I want to go ahead and show you when you push this button. The head will calibrate, showing you all the different areas that the brain's damaged. Then the baby cries, and of course, crying is the number one cause that really drives everybody crazy. So people say all the time, all they did was throw the baby in the air and catch it, and it caused all that damage. But throwing the baby in the air and catching it doesn't light the brain up. It's violent shaking when somebody loses control. And, of course, that quick, that fast, that much of a negative G is much easier to explain to people what it is we're talking about. Children do not get the concept because they think that all they have to do is throw a baby in the air or something like that. Of course, that can cause injuries if you don't catch the baby. But it's this type of very quick back and forth motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We do have about 5 minutes more if anybody has any questions for any of our panelists. Okay, would y'all like to come back up here so they can direct them?
The majority of the moms in the NFP, when they were enrolled, were teenage moms.
But
yes, now in our follow-up studies, we are evaluating throughout both now mothers, the original mothers' pregnancies, but now also the children's pregnancies at all three sites. And in fact, we currently have a 27-year follow-up of the Elmira kids, who are now adults, currently underway, and if all goes well, we got a really good priority score on our Memphis. We will be implementing a 17-year follow-up on those Memphis children. But even at our age 12 follow-up, yes, we did assess teen pregnancy and sexual behavior.
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much for these excellent presentations.